Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm Janine, and my co-author Manita is also here. So. I am a PhD student. Sounds like a 12-step program. The presenter disclosures, I have no financial relationship with anything, so I have nothing to disclose here. So I want to get started, talk about the need for internships and field experience. So this is a little different from some of these research studies you've been hearing about. It's a little bit more of a case study. So I want to explain what's been going on there. So the need for internships and field experience, it's been shown to help with career development, as we know. Research has demonstrated these internships with community partners is an especially valuable experience for students, and that has been excellent for getting them to have some practical experience that make them more marketable in the marketplace. We found that with proper leadership, you can actually have students in the field that can be cost-effective as health educators, and that helps you serve underserved populations where they may not have financial wherewithal to do a lot. And then finally, the need for internships is growing, but there's a study, probably multiple studies, showing that the availability of suitable internship opportunities is actually on the decrease. So the need is increasing, but getting suitable opportunities is decreasing. So to talk a little bit about our Center for Health and Successful Living, this is at the University of Toledo. The initial vision was in about 2010. A couple of our professors, Dr. Thompson and Jordan, who are here today. They had been doing some field work, some research with cancer survivors, and really touched them that these folks needed some assistance beyond simple treatment. They were kind of being let go once they got done with treatment, and they had a lot of needs and questions and needed assistance. So there was this vision for a center, and in 2010, there was a multidisciplinary team at the University of Toledo that started, as a steering committee, started discussing what we might be able to do at the university. And that did come to fruition. We actually opened the center in October of 2013, so it's only been open about a year. So we just sort of, it's just nascent, but it's getting going. There's two missions to the center. There's an external mission, which is something that goes out more to the community, improve the health and quality of life for adults living with chronic illness. And we started with breast cancer survivors, but now we're extending on to other cancers and other chronic illnesses. But there's also an internal mission for the university, and that's primarily what I want to speak about today. So we want to increase recruitment, enrollment, and retention of high-quality students by offering hands-on, interdisciplinary, real-life experiences. So we really want people to be able to get their, get meaningful internships and practicums out in the field, and that will help make them marketable, and we can recruit and for example, I was recruited from Virginia to work here. So the hub concept, this is what basically the concept of business that we have that for the center, and I want to explain a little bit what I mean by that. So there's a few communities that we reach out to. One is the actual community itself, the community of survivors, and that also includes service partnerships with local businesses, with other nonprofit organizations, with healthcare systems. And with the community organizing empowerment, things like the Lucas Breast Health Coalition, Lucas County Breast Health Coalition. A second group is the survivors themselves. We have secondary prevention where we're doing breast cancer screenings and possibly other cancer screenings, health coaching, that sort of thing. And the tertiary prevention where we've had a lot of support groups and things to help people to prevent recurrence. So we have things there for tertiary, and then finally, for the university itself, the faculty, administration, and students, this tier is dealing with education and research for the university. So the organizational structure around the center is pretty simple. It's multi-tier in that we have all phases of students. We have undergrads that are involved. Master's students provide some leadership to help the undergrad students. The doc students are considered sort of senior staff, and we and doc student staff will manage teams quite a bit. And then the faculty oversees everything about the center and all of our strategic objectives. So the funding currently self-supported. We do have grants that we are writing. We've had donations from other groups. For example, we just recently got something that's going to allow us to do some more cancer screening from a nonprofit. We do some small fundraising activities to give us some working capital. Indirectly, tuition, because, for example, like I said, we do recruit people. They end up going to the university and getting experience at the center, and some of that tuition is not given to the center directly, but to a department that helps us. There's university support by giving internships and graduate assistance, which gives us staff at the center. So the leadership team, as we call it, here's a photo we took randomly at one of our meetings. It's chaired by the professors that run the center. And in this picture, we do have doc students. I think I'm in the back there. But doc students, undergrads, master's students, volunteer. The lady up front on the left is one of our community health workers. And we meet once a week. So again, the center itself is led by three faculty members. Three are senior full professors. And then we have two more junior faculty members that have now come on board, and they're part of the team as well, a leadership team. And then we have about 25 folks on the team. And again, there's students, and there's various disciplines there. So we have people not only from public health, but also students from social work, recreational therapy, occupational therapy. It could be in the counseling group, that sort of thing. So we don't prohibit someone based on the group that they're in. And we do have interns from various disciplines. There's volunteers from folks in the community. We had a couple recent ones, for example, this semester. There's a woman that is a recent retiree, wanted to give back to the community, and she's been doing a lot with our group. So various folks that want to give back. Some are breast cancer survivors or cancer survivors, some not. And then we have the community partners. So, for example, the breast cancer, cervical cancer program is, they have a presence at our center. So BCCP has a presence at our center, and they're one of our community partners. And the lady there comes to our meetings every week. we have this team of teams, and this is a really great concept. I did this when I was in business, too. You can have your more junior members actually lead small teams, and you may even have a faculty member on their team. So you have faculty members sort of supervising, but the faculty member may also be someone that the student schedules or helps delegate work to. So it's a really nice exchange. It's sort of a mentorship that kind of goes in two directions in a way. So it's very, very helpful for the students to be empowered in that way. And then the other thing is that everybody on our team, all the students, you're not necessarily doing it for a grade at all. I mean, we do have internships. We have a lot of students that are there just because they want to volunteer their time there. And the faculty members are not compensated in any way for this. They already have full-time jobs, and they're just doing this because they see value to it, and I don't know what we would do without them. So it's very much a volunteer kind of organization at this point. So I want to talk a little bit about what we've done in the past year. As I said, we just opened a year ago. At the University of Toledo, and here are some of the accomplishments. So again, if I look at on that hub concept, talking about accomplishments with the community, the photo there is from of our art nights where we had members of the community, cancer survivors, and their children come and just develop little glass flowers and stuff. And again, that was part of the tertiary provincial thing. So things that we've done there. Here are some of the services that we offer. Things like health coaching, nutrition counseling, et cetera. And then on the right are the partnerships that we've done to enable these. So there's a University of Toledo employee wellness group, and then we partner with them to do the health coaching. So they work with our students, and we work with them. With the patient navigation, again, we have community health workers out in the field. The University of Toledo social work department, that group is part of that. Support groups, counseling, and then we're starting now to work with primary care providers in the community. And then and this is just a few. We have more than this, but to give you an example. And then custom exercise programs. So we have some local businesses, like there's a massage therapist that I work with who's there to do some massage if we wanted that. We had yoga. And then the UT Exercise Science program, we're starting to get them on board some. And we do have one of our doc students as a formal exercise science person. So The second part of the hub, I talked about survivors. This photo is one of our, at the time, she was an undergraduate that was helping us as we did free mammograms. It was grant-funded mammograms in the community. Students did all the resourcing for that, so she's greeting people, and behind her is a mobile mammography unit that we had at the Goodwill, where we saw close to 30 underserved women. Some of them, one of them walked 5 miles to get there, so we were really addressing the underserved. So here's some of the partners that we have with cancer screenings and education. This is just an example, starting with the health department and kind of going on down to the ZEF Center, which was is a mental health facility in the group. We just had a program. There's another presentation in one of our doc students is giving on that, I believe, but where we served the mentally ill women who had not had mammograms. A very successful program there. And here are the results that we've had the past year. So we've performed through our group 288 clinical breast exams. The partner we had there was the Dana Cancer Center, and the physician and nurse practitioner there have generously donated their time to do CVEs for this group, 245 mammograms. Our students have gone out and done reached people through some brief educational encounters, or what we call intercepts, where they would sit and talk, pass out literature, and that sort of thing. But then we also had a number of people reach through more formal presentations. So, for example, about a month ago, the professors were contacted by a church, and they had a group of women that wanted to have information on breast cancer and how to have risk reduction and those sorts of things. So I coached a team of undergrads, and we spent about 3 days off and on, you know, coaching, putting the presentation together, and then they went off by themselves and did the presentation, and they did a great job. So, and they reached, I think, 30 women, and we did a pre and post presentation evaluation, and it was very successful there. So the last part, this administrative thing, this is a picture of some folks that we have in our program. Professors, Dr. Thompson's in the center there, and we're giving presentations at a conference. So this is a bunch of our students giving presentations that were at a conference to give presentations. So again, that's this education and research thing, and those of you in academia will, you know, I think really appreciate this. So the student experience. So again, it's just the past year, and we're just starting really to set it up, but that we've had the 8th practicum courses, 5 internship classes, 3 independent studies. We're doing work in nutrition. We've had 2 social work interns that have come through the system, 2 doctoral projects that have come through doing dissertation work, and they've used our cancer survivors as some of their focus group clientele. And now Dr. Thompson and Dr. Jordan are working with the business school and some other places at UT to try to get internships for people in non-health disciplines to do things like business development, marketing communications. So we're pretty excited about that. So some scholarly activities, 2 manuscripts under review, 3 being written, and presentations. Again, I really want to emphasize how great this opportunity is for students. If any of you in universities are interested in looking at this model, it's really wonderful. Because, for example, I've been there, I've been at the UT for 18 months, and I've worked on 14 grants and 8 research projects. So that's really something that is, I think, kind of amazing to give students that kind of opportunity. And then I have 2 presentations here. So, the grants that we've done, we've submitted 15 and been awarded 7. They're not necessarily large ones yet, but we are starting to work on some federal grants. We have some grant money under review. So we do have an R21 and R01 that we plan to attack more in the spring. And every single one of our grants is including community partners. So that's something that we're really trying to do. It's not just through UT. Thank you. But it's the one that we, it was a small one that I wrote with Dr. Thompson's help, and it's just been awarded. And that was for a survivorship conference that we're going to do in the spring. And we had a number of people on that grant. That was through the Lucas County Breast Health Coalition. And so we had a number of community partners on that grant. So the next steps that we have, we want to continue to integrate coursework with the center's activities. So there has been some of that done. For example, a methods and materials class that Dr. Bordley runs, Her students have, I know that last year especially, because I was in that class, we went out and gave presentations on breast health to members of the community. So that was integrating a project in a significant class with the center's activities. We want to expand our research and grant writing. So we've been doing a lot of grant writing, and we've been, you know, I think fairly successful at it. They've been for the smaller ones, but what we want to do is do more. University of Toledo does have a hospital there. We want to work the clinical practices and bring in larger grants. And then we're also seeking capital dollars for permanent staff. So some of that may be through donors. Some of it may be through the university, we'll see. But that's what we want to do to move ahead. So I just want to thank Manita, my co-author, and then the professors, Dr. Thompson and Jordan and Borley, our senior professors, Dr. McBride and Dr. Singh, are new, and of course without them, this would not be a reality. So that's it for me. Any questions? Okay. Well, you do?
So I think this is an awesome model.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that resonated with me is in this time of very restricted funding, this seems to maybe be a really creative way of developing and sustainable. And so I know you're applying for grants and RSV ones coming up, but have you thought about how it might be sustainable without those grants? Because, you know, I think it's very...
We have. I mean, we're looking at some other... I mean, I kind of view the center, remember I have a business background too, but I kind of view the center as not only scholarly, but entrepreneurial. And so we're looking at other things that we might be able to charge for services and then have those services, remember we want to serve the underserved. So we'd like to maybe charge for some services, perhaps in health coaching, and then have some of those, the monetary work, you know, to help supplement for the underserved. So we do have some thoughts going on there. As to long-term, how it's going to get funded, I'm not exactly sure yet. I mean, some of it I think is probably going to be through endowment or donation. And then another part are going to be services that we can charge for, I think. It would be a non-profit. It's a non-profit now, but you know what I'm saying.
I have a quick question.
Yeah. What came first, me or the center? No, actually, the center was the vision of the professors, and I was getting ready to be started, and just through happenstance, I met one of the professors, Dr. Thompson, and she recruited me up because she thought it would be helpful if they had someone with a little bit of this expertise. But it was, I wouldn't say it was thought out and planned like that. It just kind of worked out that way. Wouldn't you say, Dr. Thompson? Yeah, but it's worked out, I think, really well. Now we have, I mean, the doctoral students that we have, Manita's got a pharmacy background. We're all in health education, but I have a business background. We have one from pharmacy, one from exercise science, one from the hard sciences. And that's really made it really great to do this interdisciplinary work. So I have to really give kudos to, at the time, Dr. Thompson was the doctoral student coordinator, but to recruiting, I think, multidisciplinary team, I think has really been, that was a very good strategic move. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And if anybody wants to talk to me more about it, I have some cards and can give you more information.